Okay, so this is chapter 16, lecture 4. I call this lecture Telomere Biology. And we'll begin with the problem. It's always nice to begin with the problem because then that gets us into things in a curious way. And I call this the end replication problem. And the way it works is this. We know that DNA polymerase only adds to the three prime end. You learned that yesterday, of a pre-existing polynucleotide. And this creates a problem because the RNA primer at the 5' end will never be replaced with DNA. And you can see that in my illustration here. Here's the parental DNA. It opens up, so these are going to be the two templates. It opens up, and as you learned yesterday, there's the lagging strand and the leading strand. The lagging strand actually has no problem because it's always adding in the 3' direction, so it'll be fine when it gets to the end because it'll be complete, you know, it'll match the DNA completely. The problem with the leading strand is the very beginning there has a RNA primer, and because it's at the end, the DNA polymerase II can't get in there, remove it, and put in the DNA nucleotides. So you're actually left, you can remove it, but you can't replace it with the DNA, so you're actually left with a little gap there. And so every time the DNA replicates, it'll get shorter and shorter and shorter, okay? And eventually, you will start running into genes, and you'll start, destroying genes because if the DNA is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, eventually you're gonna have to end up, hitting a gene at one point or another. Well, the eukaryote solution is this. Let's first of all talk about prokaryotes. Prokaryotes don't have a problem because they have circular DNA, so the DNA polymerase just circles around and it's all good. But eukaryotes solve the problem by having special nucleotide sequences, which are known as telomeres. Now, we'll do a word breakdown on this one. The Greek word derivation is telo means end or final, and mere means part or segment. So the telomere is the end of the chromosomes. So if you actually look at, in fact, I've got a really nice illustration here. You can see that the telomeres have been labeled with some kind of fluorescent dye. And so you can see that the ends of chromosomes have these things called telomeres. And that's on both ends of the chromosomes. All chromosomes, both ends, are telomeres. And telomeres are repetitive segments of DNA that do not contain genes. Okay? And they're gradually shortened. Every time DNA replicates, these telomeres get shortened and shortened. And it turns out that in humans, what they have at the end, this telomere, is a repeating segment of TTAGGG, and it just repeats and repeats and repeats, and that's at the end of all chromosomes. And it can repeat anywhere to 5 to 3,000 repetitions, or if you look at the number of bases, anywhere between 3,000 to 20,000 bases. So that's a nice little cap on the end of every chromosome, yeah.
How long does that last?
Well, we're going to get to that, you'll see. Now, it turns out let me just mention this because this will maybe put it all in context for you. If telomeres are these structures at the end of chromosomes, what's the thing in the center of the chromosome called? What's that called? Do you remember? Centromere, central part. So now we can kind of think about the sort of the geography of the chromosome. At the ends are the telomeres, and in the middle is the centromere. And in between, and it turns out that genes are not found in the centromere region, and genes are not found at the telomere region. And the reason why is because, obviously, by the centromere, that's where a lot of, when mitosis and meiosis occur, things are connecting there and moving around. And it's kind of a dangerous place for a gene to be because things could accidentally get ripped or something. And the same thing is true at the end for what, you know, the same reason we're mentioning here. And so we have to, the genes want to be somewhere between the centromere and the telomeres, okay? Now, the way I want to, the analogy that we like to think of is that telomeres are like the ends of shoelaces, which are called aglets. I actually didn't know that until I looked this up when I was doing this lecture. Because I'm like, what are those things called? You know, those little end things are called aglets. And they protect the shoelaces from fraying, but are, you know, worn off by constant use. Okay, the Hayflick limit. Now, this is really interesting. The Hayflick limit is the number of times a cell will divide before it stops dividing due to the telomere reaching a critical length. And it turns out that this guy, Leonard Hayflick, in the mid-60s, who was actually working up at UC San Francisco, demonstrated when he actually used normal human cells, and he put them in a cell culture. It's kind of like putting it in a petri dish or a flask with some nutrients, and he just watched them divide. And if you put them in 20% oxygen, which is, you know, normal amount of oxygen that we receive because that's what the atmosphere has, they'll divide about 52 times. That's it. And why this limit? You know, why 52 times? The mechanism is believed to have evolved primarily to protect the body from creating a potentially cancerous cell. We know that cancer is sort of, it's a renegade cell that just keeps dividing and dividing and dividing, forms a tumor. That tumor can be metastatic, which means it'll break off and go somewhere else in the body and then keep dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing. Well, if there's sort of an evolutionary limit to the number of times you can divide, then that may put the brakes on possible cancer appearing all over the body. Some organisms don't encounter the Hayflick limit, or organism cells don't encounter the Hayflick limit because due to telomere lengthening, this would be like stem cells. And stem cells, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this, they exist in every tissue, and they're the sort of the progenitor cell for all that tissue. So, you know, there will be a stem cell in your muscles, there will be a stem cell in, you know, your neurons, your neurological tissue, and so forth. And that's where these stem cells are the progenitor cell for all the cells. And so they can continue to divide and divide and divide. Now, to avoid reaching this Hayflick limit, this barrier, cells need to keep on dividing, you know, like stem cells need to. And the way they're able to do this is they have a special enzyme called telomerase. Very interesting. So what does telomerase do? So what telomerase does is it catalyzes the lengthening of telomeres. Very, very interesting. And what it does is, you can see in this picture here, purple. It's sort of this purple sphere, and you'll notice that it has a piece of RNA as part of it. So it's, you know, an enzyme is a protein, right? So it really is a protein, but it's a protein with an associated RNA molecule. And the RNA has a complementary sequence to the telomere. And since the telomere is TTAGGG, the RNA is AAUCCC, and, you know, repeating. And so what happens is it will serve as a template for creating new telomere segments. And then that's how it works. Now, and so then it can lengthen these telomeres. And telomerase is not present in somatic cells, your normal body cells. It's only found in germ cells and stem cells. And so therefore, the telomeres of somatic cells, our normal body cells, are shortened over time. And it turns out that older cells have experimentally been found to contain shorter telomeres. That's just the results of experimental evidence. So how does this relate to aging and disease? It's very interesting. If telomeres become too short, what they do is they trigger the cell's DNA damage detectors, which cause it to stop dividing and growing. In other words, they become senescent. And if part of the DNA that codes for genes is damaged before this happens, the cell may undergo what's called apoptosis, which is they commit cell suicide. They just kill themselves. So as more and more cells in an organ either become senescent or undergo apoptosis, organs begin to deteriorate. And since telomerase does not act in these somatic cells, this deterioration will get worse over time, and the process of organ deterioration with time is commonly known as aging. And thus, the lifespan of organs, or even organisms, may be limited by their telomere length. And there's some experimental evidence. If you actually look here in this graph, we're born with our telomeres basically, they're about 8,000 base pairs in length. That's the average telomere. When you're 35, they're about 3,000 base pairs in length. And then finally, when you get to be 65, your telomeres are about 1,500 base pairs in length. So it looks like that the shortening of telomeres is maybe responsible for aging, possibly. There's some experimental evidence for this. If you look at this, this is a nematode, a roundworm. It's one of the most famous research organisms in the world. You guys know, we call these model organisms. You know, some of the classic model organisms would be the pea plants that Mendel used, the Drosophila that Morgan used, obviously white mice and white rats that are used all over the world. These are model organisms. This model organism was selected by a Caltech researcher in the 60s because it was so tiny that we could understand everything about it. And it's called, you know, I can't even pronounce the genus, but I just know it as C. elegans. And it's about a millimeter in length. So if you were actually to look at it on a Petri dish, you would barely be able to see it. It would be like a little teeny black speck or a little speck kind of wiggling around. And if you look at it under a dissecting scope, then you would see this. It wouldn't be this big, obviously. And what's wonderful about this organism is that they know exactly how many cells it produces. It's just under 1,000, like 935 cells. That's how many cells. So they can actually really learn a lot about the biology, be following, you know, the development of all these different cells and so forth. So what they did is they did a study with this little worm, C. elegans, and they found out that what the study had done indicates that lengthening telomeres can extend life. And another study found that increased insulin resistance, which is characteristic of diabetes, and weight gain were correlated with greater telomere shortening over time. Very interesting. And in fact, another piece of research is the telomeres of a certain long-lived bird species seem to lengthen as the birds grow older. So, very interesting. Now, how does this relate to cancer? It turns out that cancerous cells are found to have active telomerase in almost all mammals. So it's interesting. By overexpressing telomerase, tumor cells can replicate forever without stopping. It's very dangerous. Now, without telomerase, like normal somatic cells, the tumors would eventually have to stop growing when their DNA damage detectors shut down replication after the telomeres have been depleted, right? We just talked about that. In fact, the same overexpression is found in immortal cells of strains of cultured cells. So in a way, there's kind of a trade-off. I want you to think about this. In return for a much decreased risk of cancer, we're cursed with aging and its diseases, right? You don't want things to go wild, and so telomerase isn't found in somatic cells, but then you've got the problem of telomeres getting shorter. Now, how does this relate to biotechnology? It turns out there's a company right up here in Palo Alto called Geron. Does the word Geron ring a bell? Does that sound like anything? Does that word mean anything to you? Yeah. Right. Geron is like gerontology is, you know, physicians who are gerontologists take care of old people. So Geron means old. So this company is involved heavily in telomerase. And if you go to their website, you can actually read all about it. And you'll see They have a whole description here of telomerase and what kind of work they're doing with telomerase. And they're actually, it says, we are developing anti-cancer therapies based on telomerase inhibitors. So what they're trying to do is develop drugs that inhibit telomerase and therefore might stop cancer or sort of put the brakes on unlimited cell growth, which is really exciting research. And what's neat about this is I just want to tell you that in the Bay Area, you know, we live probably within 60 or 100 miles of some of the most progressive, cutting-edge biotech companies in the world. And they're all taking basic science, like the science here of our understanding of telomeres and telomerase, and applying it to human health. It's really, really exciting. So if any of you guys go into biotechnology in college and you want to get a job, you'll probably end up back in the Bay Area at one of these companies. I have a number of ex-AP Bio students who are working in companies all over the Bay Area. It's very, very cool. Okay, that's it.